When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, crafters? Welcome back to another episode of Dig Straight Down with me, your host, Rebel JC. If this is your first time tuning into the podcast, I want to welcome you here. This is a podcast about Minecraft, as you may have guessed from the title, but it's specifically a podcast about Minecraft updates. Sometimes we talk about updates that are actually coming to the game, and sometimes we talk about updates that we want to come to the game. So if you spend your time thinking about that kind of thing, like, man, I really wish that they would add this thing to the game, and that would just make it so much more fun. Or you like to sort of nerd out on news and future updates, snapshots, and the like, well, this is the place for you. We're going to get into the Q&A segment right away. This is the segment where I turn the spotlight onto you, the listener. Because, guys, y'all have a lot of creative ideas and opinions about Minecraft, and I really like to show it off for everyone else to see. So a few episodes ago, I asked you, what is one structure that you rarely or never loot, and why? Now, there's a lot of structures in Minecraft, and they are certainly not all equal. I did a structure ranking episode in the past, and for me personally, the Ocean Monument is the best structure in Minecraft. And I had my reasons for that. but it is still lacking in some ways. Also, the End City is one of the best structures in Minecraft, in my opinion, but it's still lacking in some ways. So no structure in Minecraft is perfect. They all could use with a little bit of love, but some more than others. So I wanted to see what you guys had to say. And my prediction was that the Jungle Temple was going to be brought up a lot, and it was. I'm not going to be able to read every response here, but rest assured, most of them said Jungle Temple. All right, so we're going to start off here with High Hopes, friend of the show and host of the Beacon podcast that you really should check out. He says, the Jungle Temple, as predicted. The genuine loot isn't worth the hassle, and the redstone I'm generally able to produce in bulk by the time I see it. So the loot, not worth it, and there's not enough redstone to tempt him. Also, the Woodland Mansion. If killing the mobs doesn't count, and it doesn't because that's not loot, a diamond hoe and some seeds, again, don't make it worthwhile. Great point. Woodland Mansion, like, I understand the reason you want to go to Woodland Mansion, or the reason that you're supposed to want to go to the Woodland Mansion, is to get Totems of Undying and now to potentially rescue NLA. So those are two things that you can get from the Woodland Mansion. The totem is pretty good. I will say the totem is pretty good, and you can potentially get at least, you know, one or two of them, if not more than that, depending on how many evokers spawn in the mansion. But you fight really hard to get Totems of Undying. And while, again, they're pretty good, are they really worth fighting all that much? I mean, you're not just going up against the Evokers. You're also going up against Vindicators. You're also going up against Creepers and Skeletons and Zombies. You're going up against a lot of mobs in a woodland mansion, not even mentioning the Evoker. The Evoker is really a hassle to deal with, unless you can do it from a distance. But then you also have the Vex. And I don't know about you, but the Vex plus the Vindicators plus everything else that's going on, that is a very difficult battle, in my opinion. It might be easier for some people, but I think for the majority of Minecraft players, they probably find it quite difficult. And getting one or two Totems of Undying, while it's a pretty good thing to get, might not be worth it. So yeah, the Woodland Mansion needs more loot in it, in my opinion. Tater Tots 2010 says, the trail ruin. It takes forever to excavate, and the loot that I found is not that good. And I hear that. I understand that. It does take a long time to excavate it. What I've come to think of the trail ruins as is not a structure to loot, but more of a mini game. That's what the trail ruins is a mini game. You go in there, and it's just a nice, relaxing, low-key minigame. You go in there with your brush, you methodically go layer by layer, getting all the suspicious gravel and suspicious sand, you know, meticulously organizing all of the things that you find there, piecing together the puzzle of who lived there, and then like kind of revealing gradually, essentially a small village underground. It's a fun thing, in my opinion. I understand that it appeals to me more than it appeals to most people. There's a lot of people who play Minecraft who really do not care for archaeology in the slightest. So that's how I tend to think about the trail ruins. It's not a it's not a structure to loot. It is more of just a fun minigame. But that's just my perspective. Mason says, Bastion Remnants. The Piglins, the Ghast, and the Maze of Blackstone is not really worth the spectral arrows. Although, you can find many useful materials such as gold, iron, and netherite. But I would rather live to see another day than being torn to shreds by a piglin brute just for an iron ingot. Yeah, and I think at that point it becomes really good to be able to tell the differences between the different kinds of bastions. Now, I have not gotten to that point where I can just look at a bastion and say, oh, that's the treasure bastion. I really need to get that one. But there are players who can do that, and they tend to get have better luck with walking away with the coveted netherite and the netherite templates that you need to upgrade your stuff. Yeah, I understand. It is very difficult. But generally, I think the loot is worth it, in my opinion. But again, some people might disagree. The Arch Villager says, treasure chests. The maps are so bad, and the chests are so deep. Now, I feel this one. I enjoy the idea of the buried treasure. Now, is this technically a structure? Kind of is. Now, lore-wise, not really, but kind of is, because what you have is a chest that generates, and around the chest, also these sand blocks generate. So it's kind of a structure. So I'll accept that. but yeah, the way that the map reads is horrible. Like, you cannot figure out those maps. Like, there is a way to sort of cheat it a little bit, and you have to use coordinates, and you have to use, you know, block data and all this stuff to figure out, okay, I'm right over the block where the buried treasure is going to be. But like, you shouldn't have to do that in just normal gameplay experience. So I think that what really needs to change for the buried treasure is the way that the maps are reading. Maybe the map actually needs to give you a blinking indicator when you are like right over the buried treasure, because otherwise you're just guessing. You're really just guessing and spending a lot of time digging and potentially drowning. But again, I really like the loot that you get out of the treasure chest. It's honestly some good stuff, no matter what point of the game you're at. Randomly Duck says, ocean monuments. I've never even tried before because all that's in there is sponges, which isn't a great reward for how annoying guardians can be, considering the awful loot in comparison. I think Mojang should give players a better reason for going into them. And my idea for a better reason for going into the Ocean Monument is a trident. Just a guaranteed trident that's not almost broken and has good, decent enchantments on it. That's what I would like to see. Once you've killed the Elder Guardians, you have a chance to at least have gotten one really good trident with full durability. That's what I would like to see, especially for Java. It's a little different in Bedrock. You can get tridents a little easier in Bedrock, but in Java, it's really difficult to get a good trident. I like the trident. Again, this needs to be paired with an update to the trident to make it more relevant in in-game. But it's a good weapon, and I would like to see it be featured as loot in the Ocean Monument. Pizza Balls says igloos because I already know how to convert villagers. fair point. I do like the igloo structure. It's a really cool one, but I agree. It's really not worth looting. Commando Scorch says Jungle Temple. The loot is really bad for how rare it is. The good thing is the redstone you can get. So there's a alternate viewpoint that to High Hopes. Somebody really values that redstone. Kepler says destroyed portals, except very early on, the loot is almost never worth it. Yeah, so the ruined nether portals. In the early game, those are pretty easy to get some good starter tools and stuff. If you find one, you can grab some good loot out of it, you know, some decent stuff, maybe a fire charge, maybe a decent golden axe temporarily because they don't last very long. But yeah, after really early on, basically like your first day, this not that much worth it. But again, the purpose of the loot in the ruined portal is more to tell a story about how to use the portal than it is to actually be useful for the player in the stage of the game that they're in. So I'll cut it a little slack on that account. And finally, Dragonfish says desert well because it doesn't have anything useful, and I don't find deserts often. It's interesting that not too long ago, it was sort of like a common thing to believe, a common like mistaken belief in the Minecraft community that there was something buried underneath the desert well. And I will admit, there have been times, you know, not in the too distant past, where I would find a desert well and I'd be like, you know what, I understand that there's probably not going to be anything in there. I'm pretty sure that that's the case, but I'm going to look anyway. And then always being disappointed that there wasn't something underneath the desert well. I do like the change that they made to making desert wells archaeology dig sites. That's a good one, so that once you find this one of the most rare structures in Minecraft, you can still get a little something out of it. Probably something like a trim or some interesting little odds and ends for the archaeology system. But yeah, I understand. In the end game, finding a desert temple, there's not really much going on there that would be worth your time. Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to give me those answers. And if you would like yours read out on an upcoming episode, go to this episode on Spotify, interact with the Q&A post there. And you can also do that on Discord. You can go to the Discord channel that's fully dedicated to the Q&A segment. And I'll do my best to read out as many of those answers as I can in a future episode. Speaking of the Discord, the link is in the show notes of this episode. If you want to go take part in some fun conversations, collaborations, maybe even some Discord exclusive challenges that are run by the community, I would get on that if I were you, because it's really, really fun place to be. There's a lot of fun people there talking about Minecraft and having fun doing these challenges. So go check it out if you're interested. Speaking of challenges, that brings us to the main discussion of this episode, because it's Friday, and Friday is when I announce the winners of the One Block Challenge for this week. This week's One Block Challenge theme was Multiply, and boy, did y'all have some really fun ideas. Again, I can only read three of them as the winners, but guys, this one was really, really good. You had a lot of fun ideas, and I just want to say, keep it up for the next challenge. I'll announce the next challenge theme very, very shortly, but let's read the winners of this week's One Block Challenge. Now, I like to count down from third place, so let's start there. Third place, we have Silas, and Silas says, here is my idea, the Tri-Splitter. It is crafted with one hopper, one dispenser, one multi-shot, enchanted book, and six netherite blocks. Okay, now we're talking. When this block is shot at with any projectile, potions, arrows, fireworks, wind charges, etc., on the input side, three of the same projectiles shoot out the other side, very similar to a multi-shot crossbow. This block is handy in many situations, whether it is in mass combat or to splash your allies with helpful buffs. Keep digging straight down. All right, well, first note, first, right off the bat, I got to say, six netherite blocks. Okay, if you had said ingots, I would have still been a little bit like, whoa, that's a lot. But six netherite blocks, super expensive, I gotta say. Like, you're gonna be working so long to get this thing. So I would immediately debuff this a little bit and say, maybe not netherite blocks, maybe, okay, two netherite ingots. I mean, because I could see this is quite powerful. You do want it to be hard to get, but maybe not that hard. Maybe not impossible to get. you want it to be about on par with what I would, the lodestone. I don't remember how many netherite ingots it takes to make a lodestone, but it's enough to be a chore. So you want it to be about that. I would say maybe two to three would be the limit, and I think that would be fine. But otherwise, I think the crafting recipe is pretty good. I like the multi-shot book in there. Like, that makes a lot of sense. And it is interesting to me to include that because what if we started doing that? What if Mojang started using these enchanted books as recipes, as ingredients in a recipe, in a crafting recipe? That could open up for some very, very interesting things to happen. So I like that you included the multi-shot book. Immediately what I'm thinking is chaining these blocks together. And this is why I do agree that some netherite ingots would be fine to have this, to make it a little harder to get, because chaining this together would be insane. Imagine having like just a network of these all around, and you fire, you know, an arrow into one, and then it spreads to three others, which also spread to three others, which also spread to three others. And at the end, you have this exponential growth of projectiles. That would be absolutely crazy. So maybe there should be a limit somehow on this. But I think that the, and also if you're able to orient this block to face any direction, oh man, now you're talking, and I think that that would be amazing. So I like this idea for the craziness that it could potentially unleash. And yeah, I just think it's a fun idea, and you really took the multiply theme very seriously. So thank you so much, Silas, for this really great idea, and congratulations on coming in third place. In second place, we have Omega Godzilla 66, and they write, "My idea for the one block challenge is the transmuter. It would have three slots, one for lapis, one for an echo shard," I always forget about those things, "and one for an additional item. It would require 10 experience levels. You could use the transmuter to duplicate a single item. In the process, it would consume the lapis and the echo shard. All enchantments would remain. The amount of lapis required would depend on the value of an item and whether or not it has enchantments. For example, an iron sword would cost less lapis than a totem." So basically making the duplication bug a feature. I think that there is definitely a place for something like this in Minecraft. Now, it would need a lot of balancing because, okay, yeah, it would need a lot of balancing, but I do think you have a good bit of balancing in this idea because it requires 10 experience levels and lapis and an echo shard. Okay, so now that I'm considering all of these things, the cost of duplicating a single item, you're spending 10 experience points, you're spending a number of lapis depending on the thing that you're duplicating, and an echo shard. Now, the echo shard, and I always forget about these things, you can only find them in ancient cities. Now, there is a little bit of a loophole here, isn't there? You could potentially be You could potentially be duplicating gecko shards with this. So again, there's a little tweaking, a little balancing that needs to happen. Maybe echo shards require 30 levels to duplicate. I don't know. But I do think that there is a place for this kind of thing, because of unrenewable resources like sand, maybe. Maybe sand would require one lapis, like, because it's pretty cheap. But or TNT, even. You want to duplicate some TNT. Diamonds, even. You know what? Fine. Duplicating diamonds at a pretty steep cost. So, yeah, I'm on board with this idea. I just think that it would need a lot of playtesting and a lot of tweaking and balancing. But I do think that in its most perfect form, this would be a very fun feature to have in Minecraft. So I'm 100% on board. So thank you so much for a great idea, Omega Godzilla, and congratulations on coming in second place. Now, coming in first place, we have Minecraft Was My Idea, and they write, if you've ever tried to make a build with lots of concrete or sand before, you'll know how much of a pain it is to get all that sand. Well, my new idea changes that very thing. The Dune Core is my submission for the One Block Challenge. You can find the Dune Core in deserts, savannas, and badlands. If you try to mine the Dune Core, it will break and drop nothing, even if you use Silk Touch. Very interesting. But if an armadillo is close to the Dune Core, it will start digging on the block every 5 seconds. And instead of the Dune Core breaking, it duplicates one sand block, similar to the sniffer digging. This could be used to make renewable sand farms, which would be super helpful for glass and concrete, and gives another use for the armadillo. Also, the dune core that generates in the Badlands drops red sand, and there could also be a variant called gravel core, which does the same, but drops gravel. Thanks for listening to my concept. Thanks for reading my concept. Minecraft Was My Idea. This idea is really good, in my opinion. And number one, I feel like just the most broad general view of this idea is that there's a new block in the game that a mob interacts with and creates something with it, without taking anything out of the world. So I don't think we have very many things like this that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, other than the sniffer digging up the ancient plants, and I'm pretty sure that there's probably something else out there. But this is a very, very good idea, and it brings that more fun mechanic to the game. Obviously, the fact that it gives you renewable resources like sand and gravel and red sand makes those resources renewable now. That is a huge bonus. And it does so, and it's in a very slick way of doing that, more than just, you know, the husk dropping them, which honestly I still think is a very good idea, but this could be a different way of getting it, and maybe a different way of getting gravel and red sand as well, this sort of sand core, dune core kind of thing. Very, very interesting, and I also like that it incorporates the armadillo, so you can essentially have a little fence around this block, put an armadillo into it, and just put a hopper underneath it, and it just continually grabs the sand for you. Now, with the crafter, you can have automatically crafted concrete. That would be super cool. So I think with the simplicity of the idea, because it's fairly simple, and it's not introducing something just earth-shattering to the game, it's a simple concept with a simple game mechanic. I think it would fit into Minecraft very well. It's fixing a problem that needs to be fixed, which is no renewable sand or gravel, and incorporates the armadillo, which a lot of people don't say doesn't have a very good use, and it gives it a pretty good use. So I like this idea a lot, and I would totally want this to be in the game. So thank you, Minecraft Was My Idea, for giving me this idea, and for coming in first place. Congratulations for coming in first place. Well, guys, if I didn't read your idea, don't worry, you can get a head start on next week's challenge. The theme for next week's challenge is transparent. So a block that has something to do with transparency. All the details for the challenge is in the description of this episode. So go down there and check it out if you need a refresher. And your ideas are due next week on Wednesday. So make sure you get them to me before then. Well, guys, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Send me your questions, your comments, and ideas. Anything that you would like for me to read on a Thursday episode, send them to me, digstraightdowncast@gmail.com. The music featured on this podcast was created by Miles Roxalot, and I have been your host, Rebel JC. Until next episode, keep digging straight down. I will see you at Bedrock.